Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have you here today. And we want to speak this morning about another one of the original followers of Jesus, the 12 apostles. And we're going to be talking about Matthew Levi, the tax collector. And we have my grandson, Levi, here this morning. And he is very sharp. He's 2 years old. And he does not miss a beat. And so you can be sure that he's going to be paying attention to this lesson this morning and may have a few comments for us as we go through the study today. On our way to services this morning, he was schooling me on the light turning green meant it was time to go. So I'm sure he's going to have some thoughts about the lesson today that his name is coming up again and again. We've noticed that the followers of Jesus, the 12 disciples, Jesus chose them from among the common walks of life, that many of them were fishermen from what was considered the undeveloped area of Galilee of his day. But when he chose this particular disciple to be one of his apostles, it must surely have raised a lot of eyebrows, because the profession of being a tax collector was despised among the Jews of this day. In the first lesson that I gave a few weeks ago, I read a fictitious review of the apostles that were submitted their resume to a development research company in Jerusalem, and it was saying that they had put these through the computer and found that for the most part these men just simply did not have the qualities that would be helpful in getting his enterprise off the ground. And that in referring to Matthew, it said that he had been blacklisted by the Jerusalem Chamber of Commerce. And so I'm sure that the selection and the choice of Matthew to be one of the apostles was a choice that surprised many people. There's a program on television with Mike Rowe that is called Dirty Jobs. And he always has a job that is very undesirable type of work. Some of the dirtiest, grimiest, smelliest jobs that you can imagine, he does an in-depth article or feature story and goes on the job and always gets very dirty himself. Well, the line of work of Matthew was a career that was looked down upon, was hated really by the Jews of that day. And we find a number of references in the Gospels that indicate this. In Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus was speaking about the necessity of sometimes exercising discipline if a brother does not repent, and he said to go to him one by one and take with you another, and then to tell it to the church, and he said if he does not hear, if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him to be to you like a heathen or a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, that seems odd that he would throw those two things together there, because Gentiles is a nationality, but tax collector is a job. And it would be like saying, if we were trying to think of a despised nationality, if we were to say something along the lines of, let him be to you like a Nazi war criminal or a lawyer. And you could not come up with anything, you know, much worse than that. And I don't say that to put down lawyers. I'm just making an illustration. That just came to mind. But nevertheless, you see what I'm saying, that to put together a nationality like the Gentiles and then to say a tax collector is a way of emphasizing how lowly they were looked upon in that society. In Luke 18 and verse 11, when it says that a Pharisee and a tax collector went into the temple to pray, and it said that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. So we see the connotation that a tax collector had in those days. We know that people today are not very fond of the IRS in our country. But even that, we do not normally hear the kind of scorn for a person who worked for the IRS that was seen to be associated with how terrible it was to be a tax collector in those days. Why were they so despised? Why were the tax collectors so despised? Well, it was because they were hired by the Romans. The Romans had come in and subjugated the Jews, and they were occupying their land at this time. But they would hire fellow Jews to be tax collectors. A person had to apply for the job, and once they were chosen, then they were allowed to extract the taxes from the people, and anything over and above the amount that was due, the tax collector could keep for their own. As a result of that, they became very greedy, and they were allowed to take the excess from their own people and become very wealthy in the process. So we can see how they were looked down upon. They were considered to be traitors almost to their own people, gouging the people. And so Matthew was very well-to-do. I believe he was an educated man. He was not like the other fishermen in that sense that Jesus had chosen. We find that his talents that he had were able to be used by him because he became the author of the first gospel. And I love the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew has so many wonderful things, and it is written in such a logical, analytical way. And in so many times, Matthew brings out things that have to do with money. How there were so many denarius that were being charged and so forth. He understood that aspect because of his background. And he recorded the Sermon on the Mount. He gave the parables of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. Many wonderful things that as a result of him becoming a follower of Jesus. And his name, Matthew, means gift of God. Gift of God. But his original name, Levi, was indicating that he was from the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. And here then was a man who ought to have been part of the priestly tribe of the Jews, who became a traitor to his own people and was collecting taxes for the despised Roman government. And yet Jesus called this man and chose him to be one of the 12 men that he entrusted to take the gospel out into the world. And what does that tell us about Jesus and the type of individuals that he is willing to take and use in his service who are willing to follow Jesus. And so he's a great example of the kind of person that is able to become a Christian. And sometimes we look at people and we say, well, he could, that person would never become a Christian. We might as well cross them off the list. And yet we find that Jesus chose Matthew here to be one of the 12 disciples. When John the Baptist was preaching in Luke chapter 3, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and was talking to many of the different classes of people. And among those were some of the tax collectors. And in Luke chapter 3 and verse 12, then the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." So that was what John said to the tax collectors. They were saying, "Well, what do we need to do to repent?" He says, "Well, don't charge any more than you're supposed to when you are determining the taxes for the people." That indicates that they often did charge more than what they were supposed to be charging. When we look at Matthew, we find his own account is given in Matthew chapter 9, and it's very brief. Whenever in Matthew's account of the disciples, the apostles, in Matthew chapter 10, he points out the fact, as his name comes up in that list, that he was Matthew the tax collector. So he doesn't gloss over that fact, that was who he had been and that he was chosen to be one of the 12. But in his account, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, we find a very brief statement that is given there of how he became a follower of Jesus, because it simply says there, "As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he arose and followed him." And it brings up many questions of, did he not ever have any association? Is this the first time their paths had even crossed, that he didn't have any prior knowledge of Jesus? It just seems like Jesus walked up out of nowhere and called him and said, "Follow me," and he got up and followed Jesus. But I think when we look at Luke's account, Luke gives us more information that probably is helped to explain more of why Levi was willing to follow Jesus at this time as he did. Matthew's account, though, that's all we have given in that account. But when we turn over to Luke and look at the preceding context, Luke beginning with chapter 5 and verse 17, we see that just before the calling of Levi, as he is called here by Luke, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, his name is given there as Levi. But in verse 17, we see that Jesus was healing here in Capernaum. And this was the miracle in which there was a paralytic. And a paralytic was carried into this house where Jesus was teaching. But it was so crowded that they opened up the opening in the roof and they let this man down through the ceiling. And Jesus looked at this man and it said, when he saw their faith, this is in Luke chapter 5 and verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees, they began to reason this in their minds. "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? That was how they were feeling. Here was a question being given to this man, son, your sins are forgiven. But their reaction was, that's blasphemy on the part of Jesus. Well, I love the answer, the response of Jesus there to this, to him. It said, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who is paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk, and go to your house. Well, that was an easy question to understand the point that Jesus is making, because it's a lot easier to say your sins are forgiven. There's no way to disprove that. There's no way to test it. But when Jesus would say, rise up and walk, if this man did not rise up and walk immediately, then Jesus would be exposed as a fraud. Jesus said, well, I will make it easy for you. Rise up and walk. And the man rose up and walked. So an amazing miracle was performed. It said, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now this took place in this house in Capernaum. And the next verse in 27, it says, after these things he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. Well, we can see the connection of that, how that probably must have happened that day with this man who came running out of the house or walking out of the house, having been healed by Jesus, leaping and praising God and glorifying God, and all the people following him out into the street and talking about this miracle that they had witnessed. Levi was sitting there at the tax office. He must have seen all of this happening. And then Jesus walked by and saw him and came over to Levi and said to him, follow me. To me, that makes sense. That Levi was not expecting Jesus to come over to him and make that gesture, to make a personal effort to invite him, to show an interest in him. Everyone else despised the tax collectors. Even his own friends, even his own family probably have turned away from him. That must have been a hard thing to be a tax collector in those days, because everywhere you went, that it was known who you were, people would show you contempt. That's what he lived with. And yet, physically, materially, monetarily, he was doing quite well. But here was Jesus coming out of having healed this other man who was praising God, stopped, came over to Matthew at his tax table, and invited him to follow him. That was a radical calling on the part of Jesus. This was something that was very unexpected. He was a very unlikely candidate to be asked or invited by Jesus to follow him. And there was a radical response given by Levi at this time, because we read there in verse 28, it said, so he left all, rose up, and followed him. And I like the order of that, because it says, he left all, Then he rose up, and then he followed him. Seems like a logical way of order might have been to say he got up and he followed Jesus and he left all. Or he got up and he left all and he followed. But it doesn't say that. It said he left all, rose up, and followed him. As soon as he stood up, he had already made his mind up that he was done being a tax collector. He was going to follow Jesus. He had found something far better. He had found the true treasure of the kingdom. It indicated there in the preaching of John the Baptist that I read earlier that there were some of the tax collectors, even among the Jews, who were wanting to change their life. They were showing an interest in the spiritual things. Even though their life was looked down upon, they showed an interest in following Jesus. Levi may have been one of those individuals that had some knowledge of the kingdom. He had grown up as a Jew. He knew about the promise of the Messiah. He knew something about the scriptures of God. He was born into the priestly tribe. And so his life, even though he had become a tax collector, there was a desire that he had. And when Jesus came to him, he responded. He got up, he left all, rose up, and followed Jesus. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, he said, if anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The first thing that a person has to do is to deny himself. To give up the life, to give up what you have been, to change yourself and give yourself, submit yourself to Jesus. Place yourself under obedience to Him from that moment of time in your life. Levi was willing to do that. He showed and demonstrated that. That his heart was in the right place. And he left a lot behind when he rose up from this table. Because being a tax collector, he was well-to-do. We see that he had a very nice home in the following verses, because of the party and the reception that he holds there, inviting Jesus to him to come to his home. So he gave up a great deal. Different than some of the other apostles who were fishermen, I believe, that even though it says that they left their nets and followed Jesus, made that statement about James and John, Peter and Andrew, said they were washing their nets. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It said they left their nets and followed him. But they could still have gone back into fishing. And they indicated maybe the desire of doing that following the resurrection. But that wasn't the case with Levi. When he got up from the tax office and left that, there was no going back for him. He had to make a commitment at that point in time. He gave up his connections to his friends, his colleagues, his business, all of his contacts, all of the work that he had done to establish his business. He gave it all up for Christ. And not knowing all that would be involved in following Jesus. Because in about 18 months from this time, his master was going to die. And they were not going to know what to do at that point. So the invitation that Jesus gave to Levi, the invitation that Jesus gives to each one of us, it changes everything in your life. He changes who you have been. You give that up. Sometimes I think we make a mistake with people today because sometimes we play that down. We sometimes will say to people, say, well, there's very little that you would need to change to become a Christian. Just change a few little things. And it's not that much. That's not true. That's not true. Jesus says, deny yourself. Matthew left off and followed Jesus. And that's what Jesus expects of us. That we place everything at His disposal from that time. We subject ourselves to Him. He is our Lord. He is our Master. Beginning with that decision that we make, we leave behind everything and we determine, my life is going to be a follower of Jesus. I'm not saying that we leave our family, we leave our home, we become a homeless person. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that your life, though, you have been living your life for yourself. You begin to live your life for Christ whenever you choose to become His follower. And it was very clear, the response that was made by Matthew, by Levi, in doing that. He made that immediate response, very definite, very decisive response on his part to follow the Lord. And as I say, he goes on from there. He became the author of the first gospel. His name is Gift of God. But there's a radical change that came over him, as we see. Because it indicates here that the first thing that he did was to open his home to his friends. It said in verse 29, then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And for Jesus to be eating with them was indicating acceptance of them. That he was open to them. He was reaching out to them. And he was criticized for that. We see that there were two controversies this same day. When Jesus healed the man, he said, your sins are forgiven. That stirred up a huge controversy. Then, when he called Levi and they had all of their friends in their home, all the scribes and Pharisees, it's another huge controversy. Don't you know who these people are? What are you doing eating with these people? Your master, doesn't he even know who these people are? And yes, Jesus does know who they are. It was as if Jesus made a deliberate point to stop and go over to Levi and make that, even though it was controversial, to make his point that those people are important. He cares about Levi. And now others, all of his friends, come to his home because Levi was excited about his decision. I'm sure there were some of Levi's decision friends who may have come up to him that evening and said, you're doing what? You're giving it up for following this traveling rabbi? What are you thinking, Matthew? And he said, yes, I'm giving it up because I've found something. This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me in my life, meeting this man. That's why I invited you here tonight. I want you to meet him. I mean, there is no going back in his mind. He is rejoicing. He is happy. He is flowing over with enthusiasm of the choice he has made. And God help us if we do not have that same excitement and same joy of our relationship with Christ. With the people that we come in contact with. If we're not the kind of excited people about, we have met the Lord, we have met the Messiah, we have made the decision to follow Jesus, We ought to be just as excited about it as Matthew was that day with his friends. Absolutely, I have decided to follow Jesus. He's changed my life. He came over to me and invited me to follow Him. He stopped at my table where I was working as a tax collector, and He made the point to invite me to be His follower. No one has ever done that. That's why I want you to meet Him. He is different. There's no one else like this man. He is the Messiah. But we should never lose that excitement of who Jesus is, knowing that He is the Christ, knowing that He has changed our life. That excitement and joy, that should just come bubbling out from us wherever we go, whoever we meet. When we think about Levi, then, there's some messages that come from his choice that didn't even have to be spoken. They didn't even have to be put into words at that time. It was so obvious what the message was. That Jesus is a friend to all. He's a friend to sinners. He welcomes sinners to come to Him. He opens the door to them to repent, to change their life, to give up what they have been, to give a new beginning. A forgiveness is given to those individuals. Jesus cares about everyone. It doesn't matter how bad a person may have been or what kind of person they may have been. It doesn't change that. They can still become a Christian. They can begin a new life. Jesus has a place for them. Matthew's name, gift of God. Matthew was a gift of God to all of us. Following Jesus is a cause to rejoice. We should not go around with a long face. We should not ever look back on our decision and say, I made that decision and I've had to give up so much. It's been difficult. It should be a joy in our life to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. When Jesus says, come follow me, that should be a joyful decision. Yes. Absolutely. I'm glad I made that decision. I never regret. That's the best decision of my life that I've ever made, to be a follower of Jesus. And no matter where you are, Jesus says to you today, come follow me. Matthew gave up everything for that. Are you willing to give up yourself, your self-denial, to commit your life to the man who can change your life and give you a life beyond this eternally? If you're here today, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song, and Jesus does invite each one of us to come to Him, to repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized for the remission of your sins into Christ, be raised up to walk in newness of life. And that can be yours today. So we invite you to come in response to the Lord as we stand together and sing.
Hear this, we adore.